Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Andy and Sam here, as always.
What's up, fellas?
And gals, I guess.
And gals.
What's up, ladies?
Gals can be fellas, can they?
Yeah, I guess so.
You're a fella.
They always get the shaft.
You're a fella.
You know what I mean. Yeah, so today we got a special French movie review for you guys. It's kind of like a classic movie on the Criterion Collection that I think everyone should go and watch, and we'll explain why. But Sam, why don't you let them know what we watched and give them the rundown?
Yeah, it's a movie called Le Samouraï, and it's directed by Jean-Pierre Melville, who did like Le Cercle Rouge, which is the Red Circle, and Army of Shadows, and like a bunch of other kind of awesome movies. He did Les Enfants Terribles, and I think that was... Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, okay. It's supposed to be pretty awesome.
Why is he not credited for that movie?
Because I think when he released it without, like, he didn't want to be credited.
Because
when he first started out, he kind of wanted to, like, keep it on the down low for
gotcha.
Who he was.
Because
most of the stuff he makes is, like, pretty stark and suggestive. So, but yeah. The Samouraï. It's pretty simple movie about I'm just gonna read you word for word the IMDb tagline because it's so brief. Things suddenly go badly for a successful French assassin. That's it. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Basically he goes out to kill someone, he does kill him, he gets seen, and then like kind of shit hits the fan after that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's really suspenseful and kind of a thriller, would you say?
I'd say it's definitely a thriller.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so good at what it does for being a movie made in, what year was it?
1967. It's one
Very
of
nice.
His last movies.
Okay.
Because, like, after The Samouraï, I think he just did... Oh, no, he did two other movies. He did The Red Circle and then A Cop, which I've never heard of before, and apparently is okay.
It's okay. It looks like the same guy.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, he...
What's the lead actor's name?
Oh, yeah,
again?
Okay. So the lead actor who plays an awesome kind of super stud assassin is, his name is Alain Delon. Mm-hmm. And I think his wife plays his like fiance in his character's fiance in the movie. Look. Her name is Natalie Delon.
Yeah.
And then you have a host of other actors, French actors like Francois Perrier, who I think he was in something else pretty... He's in Z, 1969 Z, which is a pretty good.
What has the main actor been in before? Because I feel like maybe
Alain?
I've seen his face.
Not exactly sure. He's probably he's the main character in Le Cercle Rouge, I think, and then I don't know. I haven't.
Looks
heard
like he's in a lot of French movies.
He's in a lot of French movies, and he's still alive, so he's still pretty active.
Good for him. Good
yeah,
for
1935.
Him.
Great job, man.
Ah, very nice.
Great job.
Yeah, I thought he kind of looked like a French James Dean almost.
Yeah, I think that's
because the facial bone structure and like the flat affect when he's walking around.
Very gaunt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, but dapper at the same time.
Super dapper.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So Andy, what did you what are your highlights for the movie? What was your favorite scene?
Well, when this movie has always been on like my list, I think, of movies to watch,
because you said it inspired John Woo's The Killer.
Yeah, if you guys have seen The Killer, which is probably the first one that broke John Woo and the same time Chow Yun-Fat
into America.
This was the first movie where people were kind of like, oh, you got to check these guys out, right?
Yeah.
Because that was mid to late 80s, way before Hard Boiled, and I think before A Better Tomorrow, both which are infinitely better movies than The Killer. But in The Killer, Chow Yun-Fat's character is a hitman, just like this guy, but and his hit goes wrong.
Yeah.
And then he goes to get revenge. Granted, there's a lot more hit scenes in The Killer, which are fun and very stylish.
Yeah, because in this, there's basically one and a half. Like almost two.
Yeah. But he wears the same like coat too.
Yeah,
it's
he's
like
wearing
the raincoat.
Yeah, he's wearing like a. Like
oh,
a
I was talking about Chow Yun-Fat in the movie.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's they're probably just like a Burberry style Macintosh from
the
early '50s. Yeah, I think these movies, these types of movies, kind of popularize that look. It looks pretty cool.
It looks good, and it's one of those movies I've been looking forward to watching. Finally got around to watching it.
Yeah.
With your request. Yeah. I thank you, good sir.
You're very welcome.
Because it was really good. I liked it, and it was... And you also mentioned the shooting, which I'll let you get into.
Okay.
But overall, it's kind of like a 1960s noir film, too. The way it's shot, the way that people are dressed.
Yeah.
The suspense is always great in the sense that the suspense scenes where you feel stressed out really aren't things where if it was just a regular scene, it's like, well, you know, he's trying to get into a car.
Yeah.
But they make it so suspenseful just by the way that the ambiance and the director sets everything up.
Yeah.
You're kind of really like, oh my God, I hope he gets the car start. Yeah. You know?
That look on his face.
Yeah. Like especially the second time.
And like it shows you like the change in his character. Cause like the first time he does this thing where he gets into Citroen D9s or D7s. I don't remember which one it is. But like he goes in and he has like this chain of keys for the car. And I guess it's one of those things where, you know, they're only like 20 keys possible.
Right.
And so he just like calmly like tests each key. And in the early part of the movie, when he does it, he's like totally chill and you can't really tell exactly what he's doing until you see all the keys. And then later on he does it and like, he's all freaking out.
Yeah. And it's kind of like a contained freaking out, but still you can see in his eyes.
Yeah. Definitely.
And like the light is kind of like zoomed in on his eyes.
Yeah. Definitely.
I thought it was well done. You get started off in the movie. I guess in general, I like the pacing.
Okay.
In general, I like the pacing. You get started off. I think the first 5 minutes of film, you probably don't hear any dialogue.
Yeah, I think like the first 5 or 10 minutes, there's almost no dialogue.
Yeah.
And like, it's not necessary.
It's not necessary. You're setting it up. And it's one of those things where I really liked. And I think that shots like that probably popularized it for later iterations of Hitman films or something, because you're just watching go on the hit.
Yeah.
It's a very solitary
and it's thing. not silent the way that like There Will Be Blood is silent. Where, you know, it's just like kind of long and drawn out. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff is happening. It's just there's no speech.
Of action. Yeah. Like the script page is definitely filled with action.
Yeah.
And it's very particular, and I think that was you get started off with the hit and then you just follow that roller coaster throughout the movie.
Yeah.
You don't think, just go along for the ride.
Yeah.
And it's when you say something like that, you think it was like, well, check your brain out the door. It's not one of those movies. It's more, it's very involved.
It's engrossing.
Yeah. And in general, that's what I liked about it.
Okay.
Performances were solid, you know, but you expect that out of a movie like this when it's kind of like deemed a classic.
Yeah.
Favorite scene.
Yeah, favorite scene.
I've got a favorite scene. I've got one favorite scene that kind of counts as like a scene that I also thought was just like dumb. So I'm going to save that for my scene that I didn't like.
Okay.
Even though I liked it.
Okay,
but,
that's fine.
Okay, I'm going to have to say when he is the last kind of chase scene from the cops.
Okay.
When he's kind of going in and out of the metro.
Okay.
I like that a lot.
That's a good scene. That kind of reminded me of The Third Man.
I never saw that movie.
Yeah, there's like those footsteps and stuff.
Okay.
Like that. It was kind of just...
I'm thinking of any sort of caper movie.
Yeah.
You know, where the cops are on your tail. But this was classic. And you can think that things like...
The Bourne Ultimatum.
Yeah. And this stuff like did it way better. I was also thinking about, when did Charade come out, by the way?
1967. I think.
Weird.
Or 1965, maybe. Let me make sure. Let me fact check.
That'd be interesting, because it reminded me of, not, I guess, just because it's...
1963. My
bad. Okay. So maybe I just thought of it just because it's happening in France again, too.
Yeah.
But I think in at the end of Charade, there's like a little running around the metro as well.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like that scene a lot. What about you, Sam?
What I liked in general, I really like the way Jean-Pierre Melville directs. He has this, I don't know what it is, but like he has this ability to frame his shots and frame the movement of his characters in a way that like while you're watching it, you don't really think about it. Like it all seems natural, but if you like take a step back and think about just for a moment, like, it takes a lot of technical skill to get a lot of those shots.
Yeah.
And everything is, like, meticulously done. Like, every single shot.
Sure.
Like, I'm pretty sure if you walked in and watched any scene of this movie, you'd be like, that's an iconic scene. Mm-hmm. Just because of how, like, well manicured all of the characters are. Like, yeah. Everybody looks really, really good.
Okay.
Like, they're
dressed. What would be one of the scenes? I've got a scene in my mind.
Okay.
It's not necessarily a favorite scene, but what do you think is, like, a shot where it's, like, he thought about everything in that shot?
Probably one of the early, like, one of the early scenes, like, right after he gets up, mm-hmm. and he puts all of his clothes on, and
right.
he goes out to the car. Like, just
okay.
that,
yeah,
just
yeah.
that one, just that, like, entire little moment when he's getting out. Because, like, yeah, that's when it sets up the character. Like, he's wearing a suit all the time. He's wearing that trench coat because it's, like, armor for him.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
like, the very beginning, it starts off with that little quote from the Book of Bushido or whatever.
Yeah.
What was it? Do you know?
Bushido. I think it's a... I don't know who wrote it. Because I know Miyamoto wrote the Five Rings book, but I don't know who wrote the Bushido code. Yeah.
Well, it just starts off with that. And, like, the way everything is shot out is just... Like, it looks like you can tell that I think I was telling you this earlier, like, you could tell that he's going for, like, a really cool, like, kind of, like, classic noir kind of look.
Right.
But it's not forced. Like, you don't think
for sure.
You don't think, like, oh, it's like this spirit. Everyone looks really awesome. Great job. Everyone is in, like, Valentino suits that cost $7,000. Like,
yeah.
it's not
because
everyone is kind of at that level.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes you think, like, this world is like, oh, everyone is just super classy all the time.
Right.
You
right.
know? I don't think there's anyone in, like, a colored shirt. No
That's
one wears
so true.
T-shirts.
Yeah.
Except for at, like, right after he gets injured when he's at his house.
Yeah, when he's recovering.
And they're
yeah.
basically just, like, that's his undergarment because
yeah.
he goes to sleep in that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, like, you never see anyone in just, like, a shirt.
Yeah,
anything.
It's very classy.
And so, yeah, I really just like the directorial style and
uh-huh.
just the way that the movie is styled, all the shots and
yeah,
like,
I can think of one scene. It's going back to my favorite scene of
okay.
he's being chased.
Yeah,
and when he finally comes up above ground.
Yeah,
for the first time at whatever station,
he's all out of breath.
Well, he's out of breath. No, I take that back. I think it's the first chase scene where he is being followed.
Okay,
right. He comes up from the metro
yeah.
above ground, and he's walking out to wherever. And there's this really big, like, poster or billboard of a guy staring at
it's
him.
It's a guy,
right?
With, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah,
and it's like that was pretty solid. I thought,
yeah, that's a great shot.
Yeah,
I feel like you could say that about the majority of the movie.
They're all it's shot well, very well.
Yeah, yeah, you could just tell that detail was a big part of
yeah.
how he shoots. So yeah, I liked all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite scene. I don't know. My favorite scene is probably just the first kill because it's so matter of fact and it's so like blunt. Like, it's not like
mm-hmm.
it's not stylized. Like, the actual killing and a lot of the talks that
mm-hmm.
like the characters have with one another are not stylized at all. I think that's another
right.
thing I like because
yeah.
you know, they're all manicured and they look really. Everyone looks really good.
Mm-hmm,
the police
mm-hmm.
station looks fucking like that has to be the best police station in Paris.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
it looks really
have,
swanky.
Yeah, they have like Herman Miller, like the bent plywood stuff from the Ames, like as their regular chairs for people
mm-hmm.
to like sit around in the lounge.
They're just
and
chilling.
Stuff. Yeah, like it has to be the nicest police station on earth. But
yeah,
like
the walls have like leather padding on the doors.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like
yeah.
That, yeah.
And like the privacy windows or the frosted glass bars and shit.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
No police station in America is like
jazzing
that.
It up. Yeah.
And so yeah, just stuff like that. I really like. But yeah, just the first kill because of how matter of fact he is. He's like, "Why are you in here?" And he's like, "Come here to kill you." And he's like, "Oh shit!" And he
yeah.
just shoots him.
Yeah, and for sure. I think it goes to his character as like a guy who's just he's done it so many times before.
It's almost robotic.
Yeah, it just doesn't matter. It's like I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah,
that's it. I was paid to do it.
Yeah,
doesn't matter who did. It's just gonna happen.
I don't think he smiles in this movie.
No, he doesn't. No, he's a. That's why I went back to the James Dean thing.
Yeah, I didn't really think of it that way, but yeah,
he
definitely.
Doesn't, he
doesn't
smile.
Either.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he's just super gaunt, like straightforward. I'm gonna kill this bitch type of guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was probably my favorite scene. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So
solid.
What about things you didn't like so much, Andy?
Things I didn't like so much. I mean, it's a Hitman movie, so I don't know what I was expecting.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it just to be like one hit and then, you know, I was thinking he'd get his revenge in a couple more ways.
Kind of like Leon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of sort of like that, right? Yeah, yeah, but yeah. It was a very good movie throughout. If you're coming into it thinking it's going to be like a,
it's not like a badass
Hitman on the run.
Yeah, he's not like a
fighting back.
He's not like a badass. Like I'm gonna kill everyone, take on all comers.
I mean,
he's
the thing is, like he could.
Yeah, he
could,
but he doesn't. He's not gonna do it. He chooses not to do this.
And in fact, like when he meets his when you get to the end of the movie, you kind of realize like his character, and maybe he doesn't want to do.
He's a lot more meta than
he
thought.
Yeah,
from before.
Things I didn't like. I liked the pacing a lot.
Yeah.
But I just thought that sometimes things are happening in the movie. I don't want to like explain it too much to give it away, but characters that you think you see twice in like two different roles, like you might see a guy dressed up as a bartender, you might see him dressed up not as a bartender and as a gangster later on. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And the bartender, you realize all sorts of things later on towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Where when you're watching it, I wasn't necessarily confused, but I was like, sweet God, I swear to God, this guy is that guy.
Yeah.
And that he's been here, that I've seen him before.
Yeah.
They don't really do a job of like setting that up, like because you get one glimpse of him in two different roles.
Yes.
And then until the very end when you kind of get it, right?
Yes.
But I thought I was a little bit confused at times about who was who.
Yeah.
As far as like, or as if they had more of a role than they did. Mainly talking about the witnesses. Like, I understood, like, somebody, one of the witnesses, or at least a couple, could have been in on the conspiracy.
Yeah.
But it's not, I'm not asking it for it to be spelt out, like, obviously.
Uh-huh.
But I knew something was up, but the way they did it was like, even if you caught on to it. Yeah, even if you caught on to it, you don't get it until the end. And in the end, it's like, yep, you're right. Which is fine.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about in the movie, like, maybe I was just, like, not paying close enough attention, which bothered me a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's a real nitpicky thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then when...
My dislike is even more nitpicky.
So okay. Fine. Well, like, just the thing, I kind of came in with it, thinking, like, expectations of, like, you know, if the killer is based off of it, and I've seen the killer... And it's like
the killer's pretty lighthearted, right?
No, like the killer is actually really dark. The killer is dark in the sense that he blinds like an actress in the middle of a hit, like by accident.
Oh shit!
Like he does his hit, but she's like caught in the crossfire.
Yeah.
So then he blames himself for it.
Oh.
And it's basically trying to like him taking care of her.
No. I remember that. But in the trailer, it seemed almost like kind of like a romantic kind of thing.
Oh yeah, it's definitely like, really sort of heavy on the Chinese melodrama.
Oh okay.
Yeah, which is like it was terrible. Yeah, that made the movie so bad.
I think I just dislike that stuff because that was in Hardboiled too with the babies and shit.
Yeah, dude. But think of it like.
Times, get done with the babies.
Times 10, though. It was really bad. And then add some, like, soft synth
to
it, like synth pad.
Oh, like...
And White Doves. And
The Cure is playing in the background?
Yeah.
It's tell like, me it, how it gets you to that point where
it's, like,
trick.
It's
going to
be, like, that like that melodramatic. There's no distinction between that and, like, a cheap Mexican television, like, movie.
Telenovelas.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Get it right.
I know, right? Where's Diego when we need him? Yeah, but that's my nitpick. Let's hear your nitpick.
Oh,
I forgot to do least favorite scene.
Oh, yeah. What's your least favorite
scene? It's not, like, a bad scene, but the scene where the guy comes in for the second hit.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he's in it waiting for him in his apartment, right?
Yeah.
And he's putting the hanger up, and he breaks the fucking glass.
Yeah.
And then he's just like,
drop
the hanger, right? And then he pulls himself out of the glass and walks around. Like, you could just shown up.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of like smashing the glass. Well,
see, I think he's just trying to be sneaky.
Yeah. No, that was I was surprised. Like, I was like, oh, you know, yeah, there you go.
I remember that from the trailer, but I'd forgotten it.
Yeah, so I was like, that was pretty fucking, that was stupid. Like, yeah. Just going to break the glass, show off. But that was a good scene. I really liked that scene.
Yeah.
Just like, if we're being professional hitman here.
Yeah. Could be a little bit more.
Absolution.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear from you.
Yeah, the thing I didn't like throughout parts of the movie, mm-hmm. The guys, like the police, are looking for Jeff's character.
Right.
That's who Alain Delon plays. He's the main guy. His name is Jeff.
Delon.
Yeah, they keep looking for Jeff, and like he does things to make himself like. Really, really easy to notice.
Yeah.
The
hat.
The hat. Like, there's a part where he's running away, and he runs away, and he gets into a train, but he, like, just, like, stands where the door is, so, like, you could really easily see him, and he's the only dude wearing that kind of, like...
Awesome hat.
Cool fedora, like a flat bill fedora.
Yeah.
And, like, that trench coat. I mean, a lot of people wear stuff like that, but he's the only one wearing like that description of it in the movie, I think.
Yeah, and yeah. So even amongst the people that they round up, he's the only guy wearing that chapeau, right?
Yeah. And that's why, like, they get a dude to like come and kind of identify him, and he's like, "Well, he was wearing like that trench coat and that hat, and he looked like that guy."
Yeah.
They're trying to like mix it up to trick him, and that was a little bit. It was a little bit on the nose. And also, like, sometimes when he's running away, he just does, like, goofy shit. Like, they're on the automatic automatic walkie thing, and he just, like, kind of hops off and runs away.
Yeah.
And, like...
Why can't he just... He should have just ran off on the escalator.
Yeah, he should have just ran off on the escalator. That would have been really fast.
He'd be fast. The Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah, just silly things like that. They're a little annoying. But, yeah, I mean, sure. I thought it was fun. It was cool. I forgot to mention, I really like the dialogue in a lot of parts of the movie, just because it's like some of the things are really perverted sounding.
Yeah.
And he's doing that on purpose. And it's like underhanded, kind of hilarious.
I really enjoyed the conversation between.
You want to finish on my face or whatever?
The cop. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the cop and the girl, when they come back to her apartment.
Yeah, and they're messing. That's what I mean.
Yeah. That scene was solid.
Yeah, there's just some fun stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's probably the thing I didn't like the least. And my least favorite scene is probably the one where I guess the cops are in his apartment. Like, they break in, and then they put up, like, the listening device. And, like, the first he uses, like, this giant listening device.
Yeah.
That's really obvious. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's, like, fucking with it. And then he goes back and gets, like, a tiny one. And it just looks silly.
Well, that's stupid.
I think it was done for humor, but it just seemed, like, a little out of place because they're being so kind of sneaky.
But
evil,
all this stuff is really nitpicky. My stuff and your stuff, because it was a good movie.
Yeah.
And none of it detracts from the experience where it's just like,
It's almost nice just because of how, like, if he wanted to, he could have made this entire thing really serious and somber.
Yeah.
Because the main character who you're supposed to connect with the most, I guess, he's very, very serious and somber. Like, he never smiles or anything. He doesn't even seem, like, pleased by anything. Like,
even that prostitute.
Yeah. That's his fiance, man.
They're always the fiance of the bad guy.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't ever seem pleased. I think the only time he seems almost like surprised or impressed is the black lady, the pianist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was cool. I liked her character.
She was good too. Yeah.
But yeah, he could have made this really, really somber. I'm glad he didn't.
Oh, for sure.
And I like the goofy, nitpicky things that we're finding kind of dumb, but you know.
Yeah, like it was just there's just something is like so serious, and then you're gonna break through the glass.
Yeah,
but whatever,
in a silly way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he's gonna put his gun down. You're just gonna like cock. Or you're gonna like cold cock him with the gun.
Yeah. I never talked. It doesn't matter. It's parts of the movies like that, but I really like the movie.
Yeah. So what would you give this out of 10, Andy?
Out of a 10, I would give this a solid 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Like, how would you recommend it?
Well, I'd definitely give it a recommendation.
Yeah.
If you're in the mood for a foreign film, this is one kind of, I would say, you'd have to watch it if you like foreign films.
Yeah.
And if you do like foreign films, you probably already have watched it. But I just like the style of it. Kind of like the way they're dressed up. I know Chinatown is set in like way earlier.
Chinatown?
Chinatown, the movie with Jack Nicholson.
I Not
really
heard of that. Yeah.
Really.
What is that?
I think that's it. See right there, Chinatown.
This.
Nope, the black one.
Oh.
Chinatown.
Okay.
That's a. Isn't that a Roman Polanski movie?
I don't know. I haven't seen any Roman Polanski movies.
Yeah, Roman Polanski movie.
It is Roman Polanski though.
Yeah, yeah. Chinatown is about kind of like a little like water war.
Okay.
Going on. It's set a little further back than the 1960s, obviously.
Okay.
But
it looks pretty noir-y. I like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Noir-y.
the way they're dressed, and it's kind of like the tone.
Pearls and stuff, yeah.
This one is actually, but I liked, I like Chinatown better.
Okay.
But Le Samurai is good because of the way the whole movie unravels. You don't see a movie like this where it starts off with a hit and then it's just the repercussions of the hit all the way through.
Yeah.
Most of the time you see a guy do a couple successful hits and then something turns to shit.
Yeah.
And then it's like him dealing with it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like instead of like the first 30 minutes of him being established as a badass, the first 10 minutes are him doing the hit and then it's like, boom, now we're doing that. I really like that a lot.
It almost reminded me of like the Bourne movies.
Yeah, yeah.
He's basically on the run from people who are more in control and like
both sides. Too.
Yeah, both the police and like the kind of criminal hitman underworld that he has.
Yeah, man. And I enjoy the movie. It's a really quick watch. You can sit down and it's not a 2-hour movie or anything like that.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the performances and I thought the main character does a really good job of being the stoic hitman because you can't really tell what he's thinking, but you know he's thinking one step ahead.
Yeah.
Which I really enjoyed.
Especially at the end.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. So I give it a strong 8. I'd go and see it.
Yeah.
It's you can get it on Blu-ray, I do believe.
Yeah, it's on Criterion.
Yeah, Criterion. And
I'm not sure if it's on Criterion Blu-ray, but it's on Blu-ray outside of Criterion too, I think.
Cool. Yeah. What would you give it, Sam?
I would probably give this a strong 9.
Nice.
Yeah, because I really did like the movie a lot. Like I said, I just love the way that Jean-Pierre Melville directed this because everything just looks really, really good. Apart from just the characters like looking very classy.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's like a guide on how to shoot films.
Everything about it is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very stylish.
Yeah.
Stylish before style even mattered in film, I think.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say to a certain extent. I mean, it's not like I love Wes Anderson, but Wes Anderson's movies are completely self-aware. Like, they're really aware that they're Wes Anderson movies.
Yeah,
there's really nothing like that in
it's
in
not
the
really heavy-handed or
it's
anything.
Just kind of like, oh, it's a movie, and we're going, and stuff is happening. So,
and he just wants it that way just because, not because he's trying to be.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like it's almost without style in the sense that he's just trying to make something look really cool and really interesting to bring you in.
Oh, yeah. And like, I mean, even I do believe that the shot on the DVD cover for Criterion is when the main character is looking into the mirror at himself.
I think you're right.
When he's doing the.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At the beginning.
Yeah.
And he's fixing his hat kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I bet there's lots of cool literature on this movie and what people's takes are on it, and I can't wait to watch the commentary on this.
Yeah.
It should be really cool.
Cuz it's probably going to be way more. We've probably missed like a bunch of stuff. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, the reason why they used all the Citroëns is because they really Jean-Pierre Melville hates Citroën.
Yeah,
or he loves Citroën.
And stuff like I would really love to hear from just anyone, like maybe a film not so much like a historian almost.
Yeah.
And they can go through the movie because this movie is chock full of interesting tidbits. And I think, and also like the background of France at the time in the late 60s is also an interesting time when
you don't need warrants to do anything. Apparently.
Yeah. And you're carrying your papers with you like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's,
that's
interesting. And I would like to see what the director meant when he's shooting all this shit, because there has to be so much like cultural milieu behind it. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I think it's a great movie.
Definitely. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Just find a way to watch it, basically, if you're into that kind of foreign dramas.
For sure.
Yeah. Or if you just want to see some really well-shot scenes.
great movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks, as always, for listening, you guys. We appreciate your questions, comments, what have you. And tell us what you thought about the movie, if you've seen it. Do you like it or do you not like it? Whatever. thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.